Friends, our gospel lesson this second Sunday of Advent comes from the first chapter of the Gospel of Luke. I'll be reading verses 26 through 56. It's a long reading, but it is a beautiful reading. And I invite you, as I read this ancient story, these ancient words, to listen for something new that is being spoken into your heart at this point in your faith journey, at this point in our lives together on this second Sunday of Advent 2020. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was much perplexed by his words and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" The angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be holy. He will be called Son of God. And now your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month for her who was said to be barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." Then Mary said, "Here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." Then the angel departed from her. In those days, Mary set out and went with haste to a Judean town in the hill country, where she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greetings, the child leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit and exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why has this happened to me that the mother of my Lord comes to me? For as soon as I heard the sound of your greeting, the child in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her by the Lord." And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For he has looked with favor on the loneliness of his servant. Surely from now on all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is his name. His mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, according to the promise he made to our ancestors, to Abraham and to his descendants forever." And Mary remained with her about 3 months and then returned to her home. Friends, this is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. All right. It's time for a little bit of a game here. We're going to just try more of a, let's say, a word association, and I'm going to need some feedback here. And this is how it's going to work. Just blurt out the first thing that comes. Use your church filters. Okay. The first thing that comes to your mind, blurt it out here. And anyway, we'll try one here. Okay. I'm looking for, first start here, cookies and cream. I was looking for the word cream. That was a pretty simple one. Okay, let's try this again. rock
and
roll.
What?
Roll.
Rock and Elsa. Okay. No. Rock and roll was the correct answer on that. Very good. How about this one? How about liver and
onion?
Okay. I didn't think y'all would get that one. Okay. Salt and okay, all right, okay. Joseph and
Mary.
Oh, I can't believe you got that. You weren't supposed to get that one. Okay. I thought I've got to reword it, Mary and then you get Joseph. Okay, so Joseph, that's what I want to talk with you about today. Joseph, you know, this enigmatic figure, Joseph of Nazareth, okay, Saint Joseph, if you will, has kind of intrigued me for the last several years, ever since an Advent devotion that we did, a study that we did a number of years back. And the series that we did was written by one of our United Methodist superstars, Adam Hamilton, and it was entitled The Journey. And many of you may remember it. Some of you may remember it. A lot of folks took part in it over several weeks. And we had some good discussions. And none of the discussions stirred my imagination more than the one that we had on good old Joseph. Week one was about Mary. Lots and lots. Week two, a little bit more, a little nuanced in many ways. Anyway, we'll talk about that in a second. Anyway, the first thing we did that second week when we were talking about Joseph, we began with sharing. And by that, I mean, we begin by sharing our impressions about the figure Joseph. And so I remember asking the group, starting out, you know, what do you think about Joseph? You know, just open-ended like that. And I remember the comments were very slow in coming. You know, what do you think about Joseph? And I remember people thinking, you know, why are you even asking that? What kind of question is that? What do you mean, what do we think about Joseph? Well, then one of the folks, after they sat with it just for a little bit, they shared this with. They said, Joseph was a nice guy. Joseph was a nice guy. And then somebody else, yeah, I think he was down to earth. He was a down to earth guy, a nice guy. You know, someone you'd like to do something with. You know, just go out and have coffee with. You know, Joseph was a nice guy. And then everybody just kind of nodded, yep, great guy, good guy. Love Joseph. But they didn't go any further than that. It was always Joseph is just a nice guy. Anyway, that got me thinking about that. And I've always said Joseph's like the Rodney Dangerfield of the Nativity story. Do you remember Rodney Dangerfield's great line? I can't get no respect. Joseph just can't get no respect. You know, who's Joseph who? Joseph who? Okay. It's called the Annunciation. And I just read it a few moments ago. It's part of the gospel where the announcement is made that Mary is going to give birth to Jesus. Now, I read the Annunciation according to Luke. And usually when you say the Annunciation, that's what people mean. So let me just refresh your memory just a second. The angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. Well, you just heard it a second ago. Now, you may not know this. I mean, that's a beautiful response Mary gives, and it's very poetic, monarchical sounding. It's a Magnificat. But you may not know there's also an Annunciation in Matthew's gospel. Okay, let just keep that one in your mind while I read Matthew's version. Now, the birth of Jesus the Messiah took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. Her husband Joseph, being a righteous man and unwilling to expose her to public disgrace, planned to dismiss her quietly. But just when he had resolved to do this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet. Look, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. When Joseph awoke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took her as his wife, but had no marital relations with her until she had borne a son, and he named him Jesus. And that's it. And I don't know if you noticed it or not, but Joseph doesn't say a single word. And in fact, as far as I can tell, he never utters a single word in the entire New Testament. Basically, he just sits there and does whatever he's told to do. He goes with the flow. He's just a great guy. Joe's just a great guy. You know, he's not the life of the party, okay? But a nice guy. Joseph. That night during the Advent studies, we talked about Joseph. Someone in the group made a comment that seemed to hit home with just about everybody in the group that night, in the room. They said that when they unpacked their nativity scene, there was always that awkward inventory moment. Each Advent, you get all the pieces out to this scene, and you know the exercise. You put out the piece, and you begin to place them in different sort of piles. You maybe dump them in one, and then you start sorting them, you know, and you begin to envision the scene in your mind. If you have one of those moss-covered little huts, that makes it easy because you have some parameters. But, you know, if you don't have one, maybe you put the Magi up on a shelf to give some 3D sort of... anyway, so you go about separating the pieces, and you look around, you go, okay, baby Jesus, good. You know, it's the first, if you don't have baby Jesus, you're in trouble. Start baby Jesus. It's always helpful if the baby Jesus and the manger are one piece. But anyway, okay. And then you always, what do you think you look for next after the baby Jesus? Mary. Okay, perfect. And then what happens is usually you go to the wise people. You got to have three, right? So you're looking, one, two, three. If you don't have three, you panic, right? Okay, once you do that, you go, okay, we got some shepherds. Oh, and it doesn't matter how many shepherds you have. You can have a dozen shepherds. You can just put them all over the place. You need animals. You need a few animals. And then last but not least, you always say, whoa, where's Joseph? Where's the forgotten figure of Joseph? We know. And then you find somebody, oh, here's one with the shepherd crook. That's good enough. And you throw Joseph in there, right? Okay, we can make a Joseph. All right, Joseph. Joseph who? Who is this guy? You know, we have this hanging Advent calendar on the wall next to our table where we do most of our consuming. And this particular Advent calendar is a nativity scene. It's a tapestry, kind of. And there's 25 pockets, and each pocket has a different character in it or prop or something. So every day you take out and you fill out the scene. And it's a beautiful little tapestry. Well, we used to, when our kids were growing up, they would take turns. And one day, one kid would do it, and so on. Well, this one particular year, it was Molly's turn to place the 20th piece on the tapestry. So she goes to pocket number 20. She pulls it out, and she looks at it, and she says, "It's Joseph. It's Joseph." Well, hearing this, I just called out to Molly, and I said, "How do you know? How do you know that is Joseph?" And there was silence. And there was silence just for a few moments. And then all of a sudden there was a great reversal. "Oh, no, it's just a shepherd." And she moved on. Just a shepherd, no biggie, my mistake. Joseph, who is this guy? Dangerfield, Rodney, okay. So when you get home today, if you have a nativity scene, or if you're at home, and you have a nativity scene, go find it. Locate Joseph, okay? Pick it up. Give him a good looking over. You know, what does he look like? And I remember from that study, you know, is he old? Is he young? How did your craftspeople depict Joseph, you know? And how do you know it's Joseph and not just a misplaced shepherd? You know, Joseph is not even mentioned in the oldest gospel. You know, he doesn't say anything throughout the tradition, but he's not even mentioned in our oldest gospel, which is the Gospel of Mark. You know, hey, Rodney Dangerfield. Now, this has really bothered me across the years. You know, Joseph never says anything, but he's always in the middle of everything. He's never the center of attention, but he's always there. He just sits there, taking it all in. The festival of Christmas begins at sundown on December 24, 2 weeks from this coming Thursday. Now, we all know that the festival of Christmas is a celebration of the birth of Jesus. But to say that it's just a big birthday party just doesn't kind of get to the heart of things. You know, it doesn't do it justice. It doesn't allow us to grasp the depth of what we are professing and what we profess every week when we come into this space. Christmas is a celebration of a mystery that we call incarnation. The mystery of Emmanuel, God is with us. Now that idea should blow your mind. I mean, that should just blow your mind. And the implications of such a confession should leave you speechless as you kind of struggle to understand what that means, what that looks like in your life. Emmanuel, God is with us. You know, as you begin to grasp the fact that maybe it, Christmas, is not really about you, it's not about me, it's about something so much more profound than that. It can change you. Now, you know, maybe Joseph was the only one who actually got it. He's the only one that figured it all out. You know, see, he didn't say anything. He just took it all in. Just took it all. He allowed the enormity of the moment to confront him. And that's what I want to do. That's what I want to do this Christmas. I want to be Joseph. I just want to sit back and take it all in. I want the significance of incarnation to wash over me. But that's hard to do. That's hard to do. Two weeks from Tuesday, okay, is Alana's and my 31st wedding anniversary. Yikes. 31. Bliss. Bliss. Honey. Okay. 31 years ago, we were married at Hayes Barton United Methodist Church down at Five Points. And because I was working at Hayes Barton at the time, and we got married 3 days before Christmas, we had to postpone our honeymoon just a bit. So in February, we took a trip. We went to Israel, and it was an amazing trip. We don't have time to talk about that now, but I bring it up because on that trip, we purchased a hand-carved olive wood nativity scene in Bethlehem, right in town there. We got it. It was beautiful, and it is beautiful. Anyway, we bought the nativity scene at the little shop in Bethlehem. The storekeeper wrapped it up for us, individual figurines all wrapped up, put it in a box, gave it to us to take back to the U.S. When we got back, it was already late February, early March. You know, what are we going to do with Christmas decoration? We just put it with the other ones and forgot about it until the following Christmas. Well, anyway, when we got to Christmas the next year, we came to the wrap nativity. We're all excited about everything, and we did the appropriate unpacking and piling of the figurines. And after we had unwrapped everything and we had surveyed the cast, all of a sudden we realized that one piece was missing. One piece. You know what piece that was? Joseph. Joseph was missing. Now, if it had been Mary, it would have been hysteria. Baby Jesus, throw the thing away, right? But no, Joseph, it didn't seem to matter that much. Oh, we don't have a Joseph. Oh, instead of Joseph, we had four kings. So then we started thinking, what are we going to do? It's just Joseph. So anyway, with my, at that time, a new Dremel tool and the steady hand of my brother-in-law, Tim, we made a Joseph. We just sawed off the crown, and here Joseph was bringing a present to his own kid's birthday party. And we still have that nativity scene. In fact, I think the picture of it was published in our nativity scenes pictures from the church this week. Anyway, we made our own Joseph. That's the perfect metaphor. You know, during these closing days of Advent, or I guess not closing, we still got a couple weeks to work on it. You know, with a little work, we can do it. We can be Joseph. We can just take it all in. One year, and I'll close with this, one year during preschool chapel, right up here, there was a young man who was playing Joseph. He appeared to be really uncomfortable with this part. And he just sat there next to Mary. He was all scrunched up. And it was all he could do just to remain up front. By the time the pageant was over, he was almost in tears. And when it was over, his parents went up to him to comfort him. He said, "Okay, honey, are you okay? Okay." And he struggled for the words, and the only response he could muster was this: "Everybody was looking at me. I don't want all those people looking at me." Friends, that kid was wise beyond his years. He already had it all figured out. It was the perfect Joseph lie. It was the perfect Christmas lie. It's not about us. No, it's not about it. Believe it or not, it's not about us. It's about the mystery we call Emmanuel. So friends, we have 2.5 weeks. About 2.5 weeks. Let's use it wisely. Be Joseph. Be Joseph. Just take it all in. Thanks be to God. Amen.